Today's program has been brought to you by Many Kitchens, the one-stop shop for all things foodie. Discover the best artisanal foods that America has to offer. Shop for more at manykitchens.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, hey, you're listening to Eat Your Words on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and it's a cold one today in Brooklyn. We're here at Roberta's as usual, and it's actually freezing out, I believe, or it is at night times these days. I got the Robicellis on the line. How are you guys?
Good.
Oh, we're having a lot of fun. We were trying to get up to you.
Yeah.
We've been in traffic for over an hour, and we've made it from Bay Ridge to Borough Park.
You know,
which that type of day in
Brooklyn. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, these are the things about being, an artisanal bakery. So I really appreciate you being on the line, though.
Oh, I'm very happy. I'm pulled over on 13th Avenue, and there is an Orthodox Jewish man staring at me on my cell phone.
Wonderful.
This is a Heritage Radio first. Matt, you're on the line too, correct?
Yes, I'm actually inside of a kosher pizzeria getting falafel.
I sent Matt to get me a soda. I'm going to send him for kosher pizza.
Oh my gosh.
So thank you for putting up with this these shenanigans.
busy day. Hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And so Robicellis are husband and wife cupcake makers, but they are also authors. I'm holding your book right now. It is beautiful. It's called Robicellis, A Love Story with Cupcakes. And it is so much more than it seems. For anyone who hasn't read some of Allison's witty writing out there on Eater and other sites, this is not your Betty Crocker cooking manual. It's rich with really hilarious and interesting and also really helpful banter and tips. You could even say it's decadent with all of that.
That's a nice word. That's a really good adjective that you're using.
I just came up with that. Wasn't that?
Do
you guys hate that word, decadent,
no,
when
no,
used with sweets?
I'll use it. I'll use anything that sounds remotely sexual.
All right,
too.
good.
We're on the internet. We could do that.
Because, you know, you guys hate a few things. There's this funny picture of you guys just, like, scowling in the book. I don't know.
We try to make the book, you know, the book is funny. And I'm confident in saying that. I was kind of apprehensive of tooting my horn for it. The book is meant to be funny. It's a third coffee table book, a third cookbook, and it's a third memoir. Because at this point, we're in business almost 6 years now, and it's been a long, hard road of getting where we are, and we've done absolutely nothing traditionally in the entire history of our business. I mean, for those of you who don't know our story, we didn't start off as a bakery. We started off as
a
gourmet shop, and it was a sandwich shop. In Bay Ridge, we did catering and sandwiches, and we opened up right before the stock market crash of 08. So we were there. We were married, and we have two very young kids at the time, and a business that's failing, and we've lost our credit, and we've lost our life savings, and we're like, well, what do we do? And we started baking, cookies and danishes and all sorts of stuff to get people in the dorm. And one of the things we were baking were cupcakes. And within 4 weeks, we were called one of the best cupcakes in New York City, and it just really. It went kind of crazy off of that. Like we did not realize how bananas people were over cupcakes. I mean, we'd seen cupcake shops, so we were kind of oblivious to this whole craze thing. I'd been mostly in savory, and Matt was running gourmet shops, and we could not believe how insane the response would be.
Yeah, you guys found your calling, and I love how you find so much humor in the twisted and convoluted and sometimes really turmoil-ridden paths that it took.
The first essay I wrote in the book, or one of the first essays I wrote, it's actually the final essay in the book. It's about having a nervous breakdown around Christmas time, And at the point, like, my agent and I had a discussion the type of book we wanted to write, and I really wasn't sure what we were going to be able to get away with as far as, you know, I mean, it's a cookbook, but it's also memoir, and it's different, and it doesn't, like, sugarcoat the industry at
right.
all. I mean, you know, we're so used to seeing chefs or, like, quote-unquote artisans on TV, you know, like...
Yeah.
Drinking champagne in the Hamptons, or and it's not. I mean, like, you know, right now Matt and I are doing this interview from the side of the road in
yeah.
the same Honda Civic we built our business in. We're still driving the same crappy car.
Oh my gosh!
And
so this is the way you envisioned for the book. You're saying,
yeah. Well,
like,
we started. I was trying to see where it went, and I wrote this essay, and it was a tough essay to write. It's actually about one of the worst moments of my life.
Yeah.
And you know, it was not funny living through it, but I got a really good story out of it. And then when I started talking about it and what it meant to me, and I found the humor in it, and it kind of came together. We've gotten so many letters over the past 5 years about the frank honesty we've shown
mm-hmm.
on Twitter and the blog, and you know, they're from people who are in the industry. I've got letters from bakeries all over the world. I mean, I've got letters from the Philippines and Australia, and I've gotten letters just from working moms who are like, you know, thank you, because I'm going through the same thing right now where my husband just lost his job and we're really working hard to
right.
get by, and I'm baking cupcakes out of my kitchen in, you know, some small town just trying to make enough money to put food on the table, and I'm just seeing you. And it's amazing when I'm, like, reading letters like this. I mean, I would pull one up. I just got one a few days ago, and I read letters like this, and then I'll go on a blog or a food magazine, and some, you know, 26-year-old editorial intern will be like, oh, cupcakes are over. The new craze is artisan donut holes.
Oh,
and I'm like, you know,
yeah.
there's such palpability in just, I did not realize this before I went into it. I did not
right.
realize how much this industry resonates, you know, through small businesses and through households across the world.
Yeah, isn't it amazing that you can, like, have this really personal connection through something like cupcakes, that, you know, these people are really identifying with you, and now through the recipes, like, I see, like, them come to life, really, because they're all unique, and they have a story behind them for why they came together.
I mean, it kind of, you know, I mean, Matt will agree, it sort of, like, revitalized our match. Hold on, what are you looking at? You can't hear me because...
I can't hear.
So go into that shoe store and do the interview in the shoe store.
Well,
this is the glamour that we put into the book.
We can talk about shoes, too.
When my husband is going into a closeout connection on 13th Avenue.
What girl doesn't like to talk about shoes? Okay, maybe me. Yeah, so, I mean, but seriously, guys, I mean, this was your calling, because the cupcakes, I actually met you guys for the first time at a really long ago Brooklyn Kitchen cupcake cook-off. And
you
for some reason,
like 4 or 5 weeks after we started making cupcakes.
Yeah, yeah. And I was stationed next to you guys. And that's when I realized that I was like, wow, this competition really got really sophisticated, and I don't know what's going on. No, you guys made your Dulce de Leche cupcake, I think?
I don't remember.
No,
we came in second,
right?
Yeah, I don't know.
She did the one with the mochi balls on it, which I really like.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I put tapioca bubbles on green tea cupcakes. It was... not that good, though. It sounded okay, but yeah.
I like them.
Thank you.
Like 5 of them.
So, okay, random quick question. What, in your opinion, makes something artisanal? Artisanal? I don't even know.
I didn't even think we were artisanal until people started calling us artisanal. Like, we were never... I mean, it's kind of our job, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, Matt, you wanna say something about this?
I don't even know. I'm just trying to make stuff that I would enjoy as a person. I'm not really considering ourselves original,
right.
But I mean...
So it's this word that gets just thrown around a lot.
It does. I mean, I'm just trying to make things taste good.
Right.
Yeah, we kind of got lumped into this whole Brooklyn food scene, which, you know, I mean, I'm appreciative of it, but there was never... You know, I guess we've been around before the food scene exploded,
right.
Or we came out around the same time, and for us it was... We just wanted to do things the right way, and the way that I used to see, like, old mom-and-pop businesses in my neighborhood do it. You know, like, you know, your butcher used to brine your meat fresh every
right,
day, and your
right.
baker used to make stuff the long way.
Right.
So Matt and I had classical training, and we came from restaurants where we were still taught to do that, and it was never... There was never any philosophy going into this. It was just like, oh, this sounds good. Let's make this.
That's the best way you can make it, in your opinion. Like, that was
yeah,
the right
it was
way.
Never, And, you know, it was never, there was never anything really gimmicky or silly or fanciful about it. And, you know, I mean, and I think that was kind of...
showy, yeah.
It was kind of fun about the fact that, like, we've always kind of been in on the joke about how ridiculous cupcakes are, but that's what I love about them. Like, it's an impossible thing to take too seriously. And there are foods out there that have gotten to the point where they're taking themselves a little bit too seriously. Like, I don't need to think this much about, like, mayo or hot sauce or something. I mean, because it's a condiment. Kelly's like, okay, guys, like, we're just here to have fun. You know, it's a piece of cake. Everybody likes cake. You know, sit down, enjoy it, laugh a little bit, you know, stop overthinking it. And I think it's possibly, I mean, does anybody else see how funny this is that we're really overthinking the silly,
well,
silliest
food you
on
live
Earth?
With it day in and day out. And I mean, it's, you're really modest about this because, like, I look at your recipes and, like, for instance, I'm looking at the Noah right now, and that's bourbon brown butter sauce on it. Okay, apple cake with actual apples, goat cheese buttercream, and then roasted candied bacon. I mean, there's all these different components, and I know you guys are trained as really great chefs, but, like, I just love the fact that there's so many real ingredients in something that is usually this, like, kind of fluorescent-looking horrible, really artificial thing. So
that was a Matt creation. I remember Matt calls me and he's like, "This is, I'm making this up." And I was like, "That sounds so good." I'm like, "Why are you doing that?" He goes, "Well, that's what's in the fridge." And
I mean, this way I don't like throwing things out.
Wait, that's what I do.
Comes down to it.
This one sounds perfect for right now. The pumpkin spice latte, and, you know, has pumpkin in the cake, like a canned or a fresh roasted pumpkin. Espresso latte buttercream, yes.
I don't think even Matt or I know how to make fake things. I mean, I've always just worked the hard way. And I've never been like, oh, I'm going to make something banana flavored. I'm going to get banana extract. Banana extract doesn't taste like bananas. I don't even know what that flavor is.
Neither is 99 bananas.
What is? I didn't even know that there was banana extract, because it's like you can just mash it, because it works, because it adds nice, I don't know. It's also great for using old bananas.
When we're in a world where bananas are too expensive for people to be making cupcakes out of, you know?
Right.
You know, Matt and I, our profit margins have always been less than, like, some big mass-produced bakery. I mean, there are bakeries out there whose cupcakes probably cost them about 9 to 15 cents to make. And Matt and I are much significantly higher, and it's okay. I mean, I'm like, I'd rather make a little less money and make a product that I'm proud of.
And I would rather eat something in a small quantity and that's really good, you know.
But that's with all our stuff, like our brownies. I mean, I've had many people say our brownies are the best in New York City because they're mostly made out of melted butter and chocolate instead of, you know, sugar and flour and fillers and stuff.
Zampagum.
And yeah, it costs more to make, but it's awesome. And if you're going to have one brownie, it should be a brownie that, like, makes your eyes roll in the back of your head.
Well, I actually learned a lot reading through this and laughing along the way. Like, I've tried cooking down beer to a reduction sauce or something like that. And then I realized that Matt had this tip about adding a little drop of oil to the Guinness so it doesn't foam like crazy, which is a problem I always had. And, yeah, that makes so much sense. Or... yeah, I love how you really make a little glossary here of different butter types, like whipped butter, cultured European butter, clarified butter, and shit that's not actually butter, and a nice little
there's
tirade.
There's a lot of cursing in the book. That's not actually even, like, that's a quote. I think that the F word is in the book, like, 97 times or something ridiculous like that. I can't believe half the stuff that's in this book, I can't believe it didn't get cut. I am so proud of my editor for being like, yeah, we do need a book. We need a joke about butthole bleaching. I wanted to say asshole bleaching, but then I thought that was going too far, so I dialed it back to butthole bleaching, and I thought, well, alliteration, so it kind of works. And she left that joke in, so I was proud of that.
I'm so glad your vision came to fruition here.
I'm like, I cannot wait for my, like, my dad is reading this book right now. He's like, you are so fucked up. I'm like, thank you.
He's on page, like, 4, though.
Well, if it's on page four.
Hey, it's dense reading, like I said. You know, it's rich. You gotta, or maybe it's fluffy. This is getting lame. My jokes here.
Matt and I, you know, we've been in this business, like, God, it feels like forever. And, you know, I wanted it to be a good book. I wanted to write a really serious baking book. I mean, half the reason Matt and I do this is because we like the science and we like the nerdy stuff behind it. And we love trying new things. Mm-hmm. our kitchen is very much like a mad scientist lab. Like, we develop, Matt, how many recipes do you think we've developed in our marriage? Like, not just the business, like in our marriage.
Close to 1,000.
1,000, yeah.
Probably more than that. I mean, you know, Matt and I, we talk about recipes all the time. I mean, we did that ham ball thing. We were like 5 recipes for ham balls yesterday, just talking about it. So we keep acquiring all this knowledge, and I love books that teach me something. But at the same time, I wanted to write something fun. You know, like, right, Harold McGee, as much as I love him, the average person who's not a loser like that, yeah, is not going to curl up at night and read that.
Yeah.
It's so unique. I wanted the average person would be like, oh, this is hilarious, or oh, this looks fun, like, let's do this. And then, while you're reading, go, oh, I didn't know that, or, oh, this, yeah, is interesting.
It's a real genre binding or crossing book, so... Yeah, kudos to that. And I hate to put you guys on hold, but we're going to come back after a quick little commercial and musical interlude. Be right back.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Okay.
Oh, well, I just want to tell one a little thing you want to know. Because of you, well, you did something to me. You woke me up into a dream, so sweet.
ManyKitchens.com, you can enjoy decadent caramel brownies, hand-picked teas, and fair trade coffee, oven-roasted chicken pot pies, and so much more. Whether you're planning a dinner party, sending a gift, or just want to try something new and delicious, Many Kitchens offers something for everyone. Help support small batch producers while you discover the best in artisanal foods from across the nation at ManyKitchens.com. Many Kitchens, the one-stop shop for all things foodie.
Well, I just really want to thank you because of you. Yeah, girl, you did something to me. Woo, you woke me up into a dream. So sweet. Well, I just really want to thank you. Yeah.
All right, we're back chatting with Matt and Allison Robicelli about their new cupcake cookbook, Robicelli's A Love Story with Cupcakes, and I'm on the line with them. They're somewhere in Brooklyn stuck in traffic. Thank you so much for being here again.
Thank you.
And if I may get
Matt, are you still there?
Matt?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right.
Okay.
I'm actually buying Tupperware at the moment.
The
awesome. Yeah, double or multitasking. Tell me a little sneak peek. You got a storefront coming up, or...? Was that in the works?
Yep. Matt, you want to take this? Because I talk all the time.
Hopefully in about 3 weeks.
Cool. Soft opening.
We will be opening a storefront in Bay Ridge.
Awesome.
We've been
expanding our wholesale department and also bringing so a small
we've been,
retail.
We've been planning this for a long time. Like, we've been waiting. Mm-hmm. You know, the last store closed, was it 4 years ago? About 4 years ago?
The sandwich shop?
Yeah,
the sandwich shop.
Mm-hmm.
The gourmet store, yeah. And we were at the Cal Market for a while that was open. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of like kind of testing. For us, I was sort of dipping our toes in everything. I mean, we weren't ready to open up a full-time, 7-day-a-week production bakery. Our kids are, like, they were super young. When the first store opened, one was 6 weeks old, and the other one was 18 months old. And I literally had, like, 2 kids on my hips, like, sometimes ringing up customers. It was tough.
Oh, no.
I mean, in the beginnings of this business, like, when we started the wholesale company, I mean, they'd be in the back seat, you know, and we'd be driving all over Brooklyn and up to Williamsburg and into Manhattan making deliveries, and they would sit there for 3-4 hours in the back seat of the car. I was looking like, Mommy, there's a plot. Can we get out? And I'm like, no, damn it. We need to deliver cupcakes and whoopie pies. And then I'd be crying, and they couldn't see me. So,
oh my gosh.
You know, after that, we did a lot of long-term holiday markets. And we were thinking about opening the store about 2 years ago. And it was such a wreck for them. And it was, you know, we sat down and we talked about it. We're like, you know, we can wait. we can wait. I mean, this isn't a marathon. This isn't a sprint. This is a marathon. And we really wanted to be there for our kids.
It has
be
to work
if we
within
had partners,
your,
you know?
Yeah, schedule.
So now Toby just started kindergarten in September, and Atticus is in first grade, and then I was like, okay, let's go. And like, we went to school, and like 2 weeks later, we signed a lease on a Blaze.
Nice job.
And the kids are excited. You know, they've been there. Atticus is like helping paint. And yeah, it's going to be, you know, the full bakery, open kitchen, so people can come and watch us. We wanted it to be in Bay Ridge. We were looking at a lot of different neighborhoods.
And you guys, both you and Matt, grew up there, right, in Bay Ridge?
Yeah, we grew up there. My whole family's there. We still live there as we're raising our kids. And, you know, we had spoken a lot about trying other neighborhoods because we'd done the thing in Bay Ridge before and it hadn't worked. And it was 5 years ago. And our philosophy has always sort of been to, like, kind of cook for the little guy. And I was like, it would be sort of hypocritical if, you know, we talk about that all the time, and then we go open up a shop, like, on the Lower East Side, because the last thing the Lower East Side needs is another damn bakery, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, why don't we bring really good desserts back to Bay Ridge? I mean, we're a thin air wholesale department still. That's still our primary business. But now people can come in and watch and see, oh, wait, pie dough doesn't come from a big bucket of palm oil mixed with flour. It comes from butter and hands and technique.
Awesome.
And, like, you know, scones don't come out of a can.
That is so cool, guys. Congratulations on that big milestone.
And I hope you come and visit us. We should be open by Thanksgiving.
Yay!
And, it'll be fun. We get Stumptown coffee and good food and cookies and pies and coffee. Why are you looking at me? Damn it. I hope you guys didn't hear that. And now I'm looking at me right now.
Oh, wait, are you guys going to bring
here in the car?
Are you guys going to have sandwiches again? Or is that like, whoa, been there, done that? Can't think about that anymore.
I would love.
We're thinking about it. It'll be more of a surprise if we do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't doubt that one day, Matt and I will probably open up a sandwich shop again. I think that was like, we made some really, really good sandwiches. Right now it's one step at a time. I mean, it's funny, people call us a cupcake company, even though we've never only made cupcakes. We've always made other products. So,
yeah.
And then there's a lot of stuff that really needs to be made daily that we haven't been able to do, like our apple cider donuts. When we had the old store, we used to have lines outside the door before
for
we opened
cider
up for
donuts?
The apple cider
donuts. Yeah, I think so.
Those are going to come back. Fresh baked scones and muffins and stuff every morning. All our cookies, our pies, our quiches. And again, I mean, it's sort of like we're kind of like mad scientists together.
Yeah.
We're always, you know, pushing each other, or we're very ingredient focused, so we'll like find something in an ethnic market and go, okay, what do we do with this? And since we're the bosses, we don't have to like say no. We could really do whatever we want. So there's going to be a lot of stuff there that'll be just us experimenting and then putting out there and going, okay, hey, look, we made a date nut molasses cheesecake.
Mad experiments. Random question number two. I'm looking at all these pizzas at Roberta's. Is it dumb to do a savory idea for a cupcake? Would that not be a cupcake?
You know, we did the buffalo chicken one. That was Matt's idea.
Wow. Okay.
And that was, it was weird. It was really weird, but I liked it. You know, and it's incredibly popular.
A little sweet.
It couldn't be too savory.
I mean, I will bring up that my Uncle Jim did bring up the fact that he goes, well, you know, since you guys made handballs yesterday, you guys can make a handball cupcake? And I'm like, probably not. But, I mean, not everything can be into a cupcake.
Oh, well, oh, wait, I see it right now. Buffalo
but now,
chicken.
Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe I could make a handball cupcake.
No, we're not making a handball cupcake. That's a stupid idea.
Wait a minute.
This is what you said about chicken, buffalo chicken.
This buffalo chicken recipe is awesome. It's carrot and celery root-based cake, which are sweet and yummy and natural. And then you have fried chicken on top, blue cheese buttercream, and buffalo sauce with a little brown sugar.
Yeah, it's not just a straight buffalo sauce. It's
I see.
A citrus-tinged one, and we
brown sugar.
It's not like... It's really hard to describe the cake, and I think that's the kind of cool thing about it. Like, when we made it, it took a lot of experimentation, a lot of work, and when we ate it, it wasn't sweet, but it wasn't savory either. And you're eating it, and you're kind of like, this is good, and I know that these flavors taste good, but you're processing it weird. And it was kind of like listening to, like, Rush, after a couple hours, you know, when you're like
overthinking it.
You're in like some prog rock K-hole, and you're like, what is going on? And you're like, wow. And that was kind of cool. Like, I realized that. I'm like, you know, it's kind of fun, like mind-fucky food, where you're not sure what you're eating it, but you do know you're enjoying it, and you're trying something in a new way. So that was like, I mean, it's not an everyday cupcake. I would not suggest making it for a birthday party, but it's really, like, the people who do eat it, they love it.
I would love to, like, just give that to one of my parents for their birthdays and not explain it and see what happens. It's just, you know, it's fun, and I think it sounds good. I'm a savory person, but, yeah, anyway.
I'm a savory person, too, and it's like acid tripping with food or something. I don't know. I can't even describe it in a normal context. But the recipe is in there, and the buffalo chicken sauce is really, really good. It's our go-to buffalo chicken sauce now. Because it's sweet and it's smoky and it's savory and it's really, really good.
Citrus.
So you can make that on your own just for fun. You don't even need to make the cupcake.
Damn it, I'm going to do it. All right. Well, any favorite cupcake in here that you want to wax poetic about?
Lorenzano.
I saw that. That looks great with the balsamic sauce.
Yes.
What is it? Figs?
It's a balsamic gastrique and a fresh fig cake. And what's it? Goat cheese, buttercream, and crispy prosciutto.
Crispy prosciutto. Why not?
Yeah,
I love
that
it. We see bacon everywhere, but why not prosciutto?
We have a fig tree in our backyard, and half of our friends have fig trees in their backyards. And actually, at our new store, we have a fig tree in our backyard.
Too. Awesome.
Yeah, it's a big Italian Greek Bay Ridge thing. So and the thing is with figs is one fig goes ripe on your tree, and then suddenly you have 1,000 ripe figs that only to be used in like 2 days. So once a year, we get just tons and tons and tons of figs from all our friends, and we were trying to figure out something to do with it. And this is a Matt thing, where I'm like, well, this is really sweet, so let's put it with goat cheese. And Matt was like, well, let's put some prosciutto on. Like, he's like, we've played with bacon, so why not prosciutto? And then it's the fig balsamic gastrique. That's something that we've used in savory cooking a lot, and a lot of people I don't think would thing to use on a dessert, but I mean, fig balsamic gastrique. I mean, Matt, what else can you put that on? Like ice cream and duck? I mean, what do you put duck on top of ice cream and put balsamic on it?
We can get a duck prosciutto, crush that up, and put that on top of ice cream and put some more.
We should go get that right now.
Okay, yeah.
Duck prosciutto and ice cream.
We can't get this neighborhood.
I can't imagine how much fun cooking with you guys must be. I feel like I'm vicariously doing that, and also through just reading the book. So,
well, that's what I think is going to be excited about the new store, is that you are going to be able to sit there and kind of be in the kitchen with us. So you get to see us banter, and you get to see us curse each other out, and you're going to get to see us make up new things, and you're going to get to watch us fail. I mean, I talk about that a lot in the book too, that it's okay to fail in the kitchen.
I'm so there.
Well, you know, people see baking books and they think, oh, what I make has to look like the cover.
Oh, yeah,
And it's all technique. I mean, a recipe is great, but if you don't know the technique or what you're doing, it's not going to come out the same. And it wouldn't really say much for our profession if anybody could just pick up a book and do exactly what we do. So I really encourage people, and that encourages too, go make mistakes. We still do. You know?
Absolutely.
Make lots and lots of mistakes.
Thank you so much for those wise, encouraging words. I think that's about all the time we have, but I'm really excited to go out and make a mistake soon. And also check out your store. Everyone check out robicellis.com and their Twitter handle, robicellis, to check out for updates on that. So thank you again, Allison and Matt.
Thanks, Kathy. It was great to hear from you again, I guess.
And have a great rest of your day. Thanks, everyone at Heritage. We'll see you next week on Eat Your Words.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.